No vaccine can protect you from the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast found guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And now, counting backwards from 100, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. It's another episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. As Drew McMillan just told you, I am Doug Jones, your Medicare expert. And as we all know by now, Drew is my Canadian nephew who opens every episode of this podcast. And boy, do we have a lot of episodes that he's opened. Randy's already warned me that I'm going to need new openings very soon. Otherwise, you're going to start hearing retreads, and we don't want that to happen. Anyway, welcome to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. This is the podcast that helps to inspire confidence in people who are approaching Medicare eligibility. Now, that may be your 65th birthday. It may be earlier than that if you're accepting government disability payments, because once you're on Social Security disability for 2 years, you're automatically enrolled in Medicare. Or it may be that you're a lot older than age 65, but you've worked for your employer and participated in the employer's health insurance plan during the time that you have been older than 65. You might be 70, 75 right now, ready to leave your employer's plan. And that means buying the Medicare coverages that you need in order to make sure that you're fully protected. Well, that's what we're all about here. Inspiring confidence in those who are approaching Medicare enrollment. And so by means of writing a book entitled Medicare for the Lazy Man, Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever, that's how we convey our Medicare information to you. And that book is on sale at Amazon.com. Remember, the title is Medicare for the Lazy Man. You don't have to remember the simplest and easiest guide ever. You get to the lazy man part and Amazon will show you the cover of our book, which has a red 2021 right smack dab in the middle of the cover. The reason for that is that I have other obligations that are taking away all my free time and my January trip to Illinois, and I haven't had a chance to get the 2022 edition of the book ready yet. So I'll be doing that hopefully in February. You will see on Amazon or on Barnes & Noble the 2022 edition of the Medicare for the Lazy Man book. So anyway, my faithful Indian companion, Randy, is right here with us. Randy, what's new with you today?
I was just curious. You were talking about Drew and everything, Drew and Canada and all that kind of good stuff. I was just curious, how is his little girl doing? I believe it's Nora, right?
Nora, yes. Well, Mary told me Drew sent us a picture of Nora. And so I got on my phone to look at that picture last night. And it's not a picture of Nora. It's a video of Nora, lasts about 30 seconds. And she is riding their robotic vacuum around the kitchen. Yeah. Giddy up, cowboy. You know.
Oh, my gosh.
And she's holding one arm up in the air like a rodeo rider. Now, she has to be like four. Well, she was born last April. So what is she, maybe 8 months old now?
A little. Yeah. 8 months. Yeah, basically.
That robotic vacuum bounced off several solid surfaces and she did not lose her grip at all.
She stuck right to it, huh?
Stuck to it. So she might have a calling as a cowgirl when she grows up.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So the next time you talk to Drew, you know, he needs to really kind of follow that path, get her a hat, get her some boots, get her some Levi's. Actually, Levi's are not the real thing you want to get for a cowgirl. They need to have something else besides Levi's. They need to buy the other brand, which you really everybody buys now. So
Wrangler, right? Is that you told me one time what your favorite brand was?
Wrangler? If you're going to be a cowgirl or a cowboy, you got to do Wranglers.
How about Levi's?
Nope. Can't do that. Got to stick with the Wrangler program. And ultimately, she may go that direction. But in the meantime, I was just wondering, when do you think she'll be ready to be one of our associate producers?
Well, watching her squealing as she's riding around the kitchen, half of the time backwards, I believe that she's developing the speech skills that she's going to need to take over from Drew,
yeah,
or at least a substitute, because Drew is the kind of guy who enjoys hanging around in warmer climates. I mean, he does Canada very well, but I see him headed south. The last time he and I hung around together, he was in town for his pre-wedding thing with his buddies, and they rented a place just south of you on Cave Creek Road, Cave Creek in the 101. There's a place with a fake lake. And it's like a marina, and it's surrounded by homes. And so he and about 10 Canadians came down and just tore the hell out of one of these big ass homes. And they were splashing around in the water, and it had a pool and everything else. So it was comfortable for them in the 60s. And
oh,
cloudy.
My God.
It because they're Canadians, you know, they have more fortitude than you and I would have.
I was just curious, does Drew remember any of that weekend?
I haven't asked him because I didn't want to embarrass him. I said that was the last time we saw each other. But in reality, Mary and I went to the wedding, which was held in the summer in the southernmost part of Ontario. There's a part of Ontario that is actually south of Detroit, Michigan.
Yep.
And yep. That's the little town and the resort area where he had the actual wedding to his lovely bride, Magda. And then we went up north to their cottage on some lake. I can't remember. Muskoka. I want to say Muskoka. And that's where we spent the rest of a week goofing off with my sister and her husband.
Good. Good. What? Obviously, when you talk to him next time, if he doesn't listen to the podcast, tell him hi. I hope all is going well up there in the land of the ice and snow. And I always think about Nora because I've got a little grandson. I think he was born within 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, one way or the other of Nora. And his name is Asher. So I always think about Nora in context of Asher.
Well, if we can pass our business on to those two, then we'll be following in the footsteps of my grandfather. Hugely successful guy. Hired all of his relatives, his wife's relatives. He put all of the family members he could find to work. And he was waiting for me to enter the family business when he died. He just fell asleep holding my grandmother's hand and holding a cocktail in his other hand. And he just went to sleep.
If you got to go, that's the way to do it.
Absolutely. But my grandmother was a little freaked out, and it was a room full of business associates who were having a cocktail party, and they were all freaked out. So it was unfortunate timing.
Well, I can imagine your poor grandma looking over and say, why are you being so quiet?
Well, I think she knew. She felt the hand change, and she knew that. He was a great, great man, and I'm proud to call him an ancestor. And I'm inspired by the guy because he started out with, not very much and managed to build an empire, an insurance empire. And so I am happy to be following in his footsteps to some extent. And I'm happy to announce to you, Randy, that we're going to do some mailbag items today.
Oh, my God. That is so cool because you know what happens? You're going to be coming back home, at the end of the month.
Right.
And without some mailbaggers to show for it, you and I can't really be safe setting foot inside of the chip.
I know the patrons at the chip are anxious to hear more mailbag items than they actually get to hear. And so whenever that happens, that we're able to share those with them, they do put on their happy faces and they are more welcoming when you show up, as you've described to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let me tear into the mailbag. And these are some fairly recent additions because instead of reaching way down to the bottom with my falconry glove on, because I know there are weird life forms living down there, I've been taking them from the top. So we've got some that are aging nicely. I'll leave them alone until the move is over. But these are some fairly recent ones. And this is from a guy named Steve, who is writing on behalf of his wife, Kelly. And Steve says, Doug, my wife and I are nearing the next step of insurance life. We're not real happy about being 65, but on the other hand, are really hoping for a substantial reduction in our health insurance costs. We pay through the nose and everywhere else at present. I've read your last two books, and I'm now hooked on your podcasts. Much appreciation to you and Randy. And he also, and Randy's two thumbs up for that one. He's taking Siskel and Ebert's advice. He goes on to say, I like the info and the humor, especially the podcast end when Randy says the thing about you being the anti-insurance insurance agent. I laugh every time. Randy, why don't you explain that to us again?
Well, the basic concept when I first dreamt that tagline up, Doug, was that you are absolutely an insurance expert. There's no doubt about it. But the reason I call you the anti-insurance insurance guy is because you approach it from a very different perspective. You approach your business from the perspective of what you need to make the best decisions and help your customers make the best decisions for them. And in my experience with insurance people, they usually, and you know, there's probably some exceptions, but they usually make the decision about what it's going to do for their pocketbook, not mine.
Well, that makes that a complimentary phrase that you use very often at the end of the podcast. So for that, I thank you. So Steve really enjoys that part. And he says, now I have a couple of questions. One question is, can we sign up for Part A and Part B of Medicare prior to the 3-month period? Remember, the general rule is 3 months before your 65th birthday, actually 3 months before the start of your 65th birthday month. And what's been happening since the COVID panic has taken over common sense in a lot of areas is the federal government has kind of loosened up on their regulation. So he's asking basically if there is some leeway on that rule of not starting until 3 months before the birthday month. That 3-month window is right in the middle of our business busy season. It would be nice to get everything taken care of or everything ready so that when the day comes, it is automatically happening. And the same questions for the supplemental plan and the prescription drug plan. Also, it seems like we first have to sign up for Part A and Part B and get our personal Medicare numbers before we sign up for a prescription drug plan. Is that correct? My wife turns 65 on November 22nd, and I will turn 65 the next February 24th. Thank you very much. And so I then responded, hi, Steve. I sympathize with your plight. But not only did I survive the transition, in fact, from where I sit, age 65 looks pretty darn good. Also, I felt compelled to read your message to my wife in a pathetic attempt to get a little more respect around here. We'll see if that works. The regulations and procedures surrounding Medicare enrollment have come under a lot of pressure these last couple of years, and some of them have been temporarily modified to allow the bureaucracies to work from home or the bureaucrats, to allow the bureaucrats to work from home more efficiently. While I cannot guarantee that the answers will delight you, I might suggest placing a telephone call to the closest Social Security Administration office to ask about their enrollment procedures. If there is any leeway in the regulations, they should tell you about it. As for Medicare supplement plans, I can say with certainty that the company that is almost always the least expensive, the one I like best and recommend most often, will accept your applications up to 6 months before your 65th birthdays. The same may not be true of every prescription drug plan, but there is one saving grace that will allow us to accomplish what you want for the Medicare supplement and the prescription drug plans. We can complete the decision process months ahead of your birthday months, and then have the paperwork all finished, signed, and waiting for submission to the insurance companies. I hope this will ease your concerns. And Steve said, Doug, thanks for the information. At your suggestion, I called the Social Security Administration about enrollment procedures. The gal said it has to be 3 months prior to the birthday. So we will get my wife signed up via phone call with the local SSA office, which in our case is in Washington State. And she said it could be up to 60 days until receiving the Medicare card. Ladies and gentlemen, everything is running slower than normal in this whole Medicare process. This is why I encourage people to get on the stick and start the process early on, and don't risk having trouble getting coverage by overstaying your allowable time frame. So then Steve goes on to say, however, in the meantime, we would very much appreciate your assistance with the high value Plan G. And that's Randy's name for the high deductible Plan G. Two thumbs up again. And the prescription drug plan. I did do some checking on the prescription drug plan. It looks like WellCare Value Script has a monthly premium of $11.60. And also using Safeway so-and-so number as the pharmacy, my wife has one prescription that I did list. Also, he's talking about drugs here. Prices vary quite a bit. I was really surprised. Anyway, I'm sure you will walk us through all of this, and we appreciate everything. And that's my plan, to walk them through the whole process. So then Steve wrote back. No, I wrote back to Steve. I said, I think we can accomplish your enrollment starting next August 1st. That's within the 3-month time limit for the wife, for Mrs. Steve. And then a couple of months later, we can start on your enrollment without encroaching on your busy season. I applaud your choice of Medicare supplement plans, but we'll double check the available prescription drug plans to ensure that we select the least costly available for you. At that time, I will have a couple of short questionnaires for each of you and some forms that will require only signatures. And that will be all there is to it. In the meantime, I will always be available for questions or discussion at your convenience. So let's assume that your work is done until next August 1st, when we will meet again to accomplish Kelly's paperwork. Does that sound good? And Steve said, we forgot to ask this important question. How is your commission or fee figured into things? Will you bill us separately or what? And I was able to respond happily, no charge to you. If and when you purchase an insurance product through me, the insurance company will send a pittance to me every month. And Steve said, ha ha, got it. Okay. I think he was happy to hear that. So that's the way insurance works. If you use me as your agent, you don't have to worry about any kind of fee or anything else. It's going to be paid to me by the insurance company. And since I work hard to sell you a product with the lowest possible cost, then you can be assured that my compensation will be of the lowest possible percentage available. And I'll be out looking for new clients while you're enjoying your Medicare enrollment for years to come. So here's another, this is a client of mine who went with the Medicare MSA plan. This is the plan that's really a Medicare Advantage. It's the only Medicare Advantage plan that I would recommend or sell. And I want to make sure that people understand that there are, you know, inherent risks in any Medicare Advantage plan, but of all the Medicare Advantage plans, this is the best one. It allows almost total freedom of choice to find your own doctors and hospitals and go where you want. And and what it does is it shovels a few thousand dollars into your account every year. So if you're confident that you're not going to need any significant medical treatment, you're happy with a, let's say, an $8,000 deductible plan, and they give you $5,000 in cash in case you have a medical problem, this might be the plan for you. Also, it doesn't cost anything. It's a zero premium Medicare Advantage plan. So this gentleman signed up for this plan starting January 1st. And he says, hi, Doug, happy new year. Hope things are going well. I understand the Medicare MSA replaces parts A and B when it goes into effect, which it did in January. The MSA has no premium cost, but my question is, do we still pay the Part B premiums? We have already paid for the first quarter. And do we use the MSA benefits to fund that? Or does the MSA plan replace the Part B premiums too? And so I said, this guy's name is Randy, amazingly enough. I said, hi, Randy. Everything is fine with me, as I hope it is with you. The procedure is that you keep paying the Part B premiums as billed by the government as CMS Medicare insurance. Somebody sent me the invoice for that. And so I know that that's what it says on the invoice. That's what you make your check out to, or that's what your credit card will say when you get the charge, CMS Medicare insurance. However, I am told that those premiums appear on IRS Publication 502 as a qualified medical expenses. This means you can use the money in your MSA account to pay the quarterly Part B premium. That expense is not a taxable event and would be treated like the payment of a regular medical bill. And Randy answered me. He said, "Douglas, you always have a quick response. That's what I thought. Thank you so much." So far, he's happy with his MSA. I'm hoping that he'll be happy with it if he has medical problems. But in the meantime, he's basically just collecting money from the government through his Medicare MSA plan and not forking out any dough of his own. So how are we doing time-wise, Randy?
The crickets have spoken.
Oh, boy. I didn't even hear them. You'd think, you know, when I'm yakking away, those crickets are kind of loud. You'd think I would have heard them. But no, not this time.
Well, this time I had him under an old Folgers coffee can.
I just threw away a whole bunch of those as part of the move. I'm cleaning out my garage where I do a lot of work. And I used to save a lot of that stuff for parts storage.
And, if it wasn't for Folgers coffee cans, there would be no parts storage, okay?
I remember when Folgers first was introduced to the Chicago coffee market. I'm not a coffee drinker, but they made a big deal, and this seemed to go on for years when I was a little kid. Folgers is moving a mountain to Chicago, and it was like this rumbling giant mountain full of palm trees and stuff that was, shoved into view in the TV camera's view, and it was all about Folgers coming to town. And, man, they took over. It showed the power of advertising. People started buying Folgers like nobody's business.
So where were they based before that?
I can't tell you because I was a little kid and I didn't really drink coffee, nor do I drink coffee now. So I've never really known what their history is.
If it wasn't for coffee, I wouldn't be able to stay awake half the time. But, you know, my family has always been coffee drinkers and I used to be a big smoker, but I got past that.
Well, maybe not forever, though. It's always nice. I saved all my cigarettes. I got a whole bunch of cigarettes, Pall Mall, cartons and cartons of cigarettes that I'm going to save just in case I go back to smoking. I mean, if somebody ever tells me I'm about to die, the first thing I'm going to do is fire up a cigarette.
Head for the fridge.
Yeah. I keep them in the freezer. Hopefully they're not deteriorating too rapidly.
Well, it's just like I always tell my wife, Margaret. I haven't smoked for, let's say probably around 10 years. Before that, I was a huge chain smoker. But I tell her, pretty much every day, don't kid yourself. I may not be smoking, but I'm still a smoker.
Yeah. Well, I've made a pact with a friend of mine. And when we turn 90, he and I are going to resume smoking. And then he had a bad day one day. He said, let's make that 89. And I said, okay, fine with me. And then somebody pointed out that we are not the same ages. So whose 89th birthday is going to be the signal for us to quit or to start smoking again? We haven't figured
the early, out yet. The early one.
Yeah, the young one. Okay, well, that would be him because he's a year younger, one and a half years younger than me.
Okay. No, I think I'd make it the older one because then he could start smoking quicker.
Oh, that's what I was thinking. Oh, my God. Yes. So he would be like 87 and a half or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'll work. I'm sure his wife won't have a problem with that.
And that's absolutely going to work. So anyway, I wanted to thank Steve for, mentioning us that he likes our podcast. He likes the information. I mean, who couldn't like the information? Doug's probably the most knowledgeable expert in this business in the United States. And we like to think we're occasionally talking about, things of the past that we enjoyed and some of you people might enjoy, too, because I still remember the Mickey Mouse Club, and some of you probably do too, but thanks for mentioning that, Steve. We always appreciate people, thinking that we're doing a good thing. So keep listening. Tell all your relatives, because you just never know when your name might come up on this podcast, because occasionally I will put out an offer for a co-producer to write some material.
Whatever happened to our current co-producer?
Well, I need to reach out. Because I haven't had any contact with him lately. So I need to reach out and see if we can renegotiate his contract and see if he's interesting to do that.
Well, either that one, Dominic, one of our favorite listeners, or a new candidate for the writing staff. Either way is fine with me, as long as it doesn't cost me any money.
Yeah, well, you know, we pay big bucks, our writers. You know, they're union writers. They get big bucks. I think union scale for what we do is probably zero.
Zilch point doo-doo.
Zilch point doo-doo. But anyway, I wanted to mention you, Steve. Thanks so much for commenting on that. But in the meantime, I need to thank everybody else for listening, because I know you could have been 153 different places, and you weren't. You were listening to Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. And we all know that Doug puts a lot of work into this, and I just sit here and record the results and occasionally get to, you know, comment on things. But you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes, as Steve likes to hear, listening to Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma, and now the guy trying to desperately find a way back to Arizona.
Bye-bye, everyone.